Well, thank you, Jeff, for letting me sing along. That is a wonderful talent, isn't it? Don't you enjoy that sax? I love sax. All right. I tell you, two of my kids have played the saxophone. They just didn't keep playing it long enough. I wish they would play it some more. And I remember the early days, though, when they started playing sax. Didn't sound quite like that. But it got better as time went on. All right. Well, if you were here last Sunday, you remember that we talked a little bit about making choices. And I'd kind of like to stay kind of in that vein this morning, actually just kind of amplify on that thought a little bit, in that we have these choices to make, and we know that the enemy wants to try to somehow get in the way and make those choices not appear so simple or appear so easy. And we gave a pretty cut and dried message last week as far as the fact that we make those choices and we do the right thing and we get the right result out of that. But this morning I want to title this message, What Am I Up Against? And I want us to think for just a few moments this morning about the enemy and indeed what he wants to try to do to keep us from making right choices. Now, a lot of times we think about battle with the enemy, and we read in Ephesians about the armor of God and all those kinds of things, and we think about maybe an all-out frontal assault where the enemy would come against us and we're going to do battle and we're in the power of the Lord and we have all these weapons. But indeed, the devil has realized that God gives pretty good information out, and that when he tries to take people on in obvious ways, that they're kind of prepared oftentimes. And people, pray and get ready, and they see the devil coming when he tries to just do these black and white kind of things. And so what has happened is the enemy is great at deceit. And he just kind of goes at things more subtly. And I want to go back to a verse of Scripture that we referred to last Sunday in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And that verse says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And we talked about last week how if that's the case, why would we want to side up with anybody who's going to do that to us? And yet we find ourselves not realizing it's not sometimes that obvious. And this past week was time for our staff meeting. Ted, I seem really loud. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't think I'm in the monitor, so. But I just am kind of getting head resonance. Maybe I'm having allergies or something. At any rate, we were having staff meeting, and we were talking about this verse of Scripture in the process of talking about some things about the church and our hopes for the future and our vision for things to go on. I quoted this verse, and it was just like all of a sudden this three-point sermon falls in my lap. And I said, I'll look into that sometime. And indeed, the Lord would not let me away from that school of thought. And so I have pursued that under hopefully his leadership and guidance this past week. And I just want to share some very simple things with you. But hopefully, sometimes it's the simple things that stick with us. And I'd like to preach one of those sermons that maybe will stick with you. Not the one where you hear and say that was good and then you forget it. But the one where you can remember the points, and because there were so few things said that it just sticks in your head. And I'd kind of like to hope that this is maybe going to be that kind of a thing. Because I believe that the enemy wants to do anything he can to keep us from going to heaven. I think he wants to do everything he possibly can to keep us from influencing anyone else to go to heaven. And yet he wants to do it in a way that maybe is not always obvious, but a way that maybe he just can subtly kind of pull away at us to where we're not as effective as God really wants us to be or that we could be. And so, these are the thoughts that I believe the Lord placed in my mind. And these are the thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. What am I up against? The thief came to steal our attention. He came to kill our sensitivity. And he came to destroy our relationship. And so just a few minutes, preface some things here from the Scripture that maybe will solidify these thoughts in your mind. But I'm thinking about simple directions, because almost always scriptural principles we find in other instructions in life. And of course, you know that I love athletics, and there's always a lot of teaching and training that are part of doing athletic things. And so I was thinking back through high school and junior high, and indeed the coaching that I've done in youth leagues since then, and thinking about things that we say to people. How many of you have ever heard this phrase? Keep your eye on the ball. Okay? And oh, by the way, we like to rejoice with people when good things happen, and that we try not to make, no one person is any more important than any other person, and sometimes we don't know about stuff that happens to you, so we can't tell that. But another thing is, I've started in my latter years, as my knees have gone to pot, and I can't do softball and those kind of things anymore, I'm trying to play some golf every once in a while, and the thing they tell you in golf is keep your head down. Again, so that your nose is on the ball, because the tendency is when you swing to go through with your swing and look out here where the ball's going, instead of keeping your eye on the ball till you make good contact. And so I'm trying to learn these things. I'm trying to remember these things. I remember running track. It was like, keep your eye on the finish line. The thing was always to look ahead. The coaches would say, never look around. Don't look beside you. Don't look behind you. You know, indeed, if you don't see anybody in front of you, you're in pretty good shape. So just keep looking at the finish line. And there's all these things about focusing. And how many of you, if you don't have an athletic bone in your body, this will apply. How many of you have ever been driving down the road, okay, and you're driving, and you have the yellow line, you have the white line, and you're driving just fine, and somebody in the car says, look at that. And so you do. And almost invariably, when you look to the right or to the left, you cease to go straight between those lines. And when you look back up, you go, because you're drifting. You're going one way or the other towards those lines. And so there's all of these things. How many of you here shoot guns? And you have scopes, crosshairs, and sights, and all those kind of things. And you got to focus on the bullseye. You know, a lot of us would like to think that we're like the old guys in the Westerns, you know, where they can just be riding the horse and grab the pistol and shoot the quarter out of the air, put a hole right in the middle of it. Well, it would need to be a quarter of a mile for me. I need something big that I can hit. So but there's all these things in life, all these analogies about our focus, about seeing something at a specific spot and staying tuned to it. I want you to listen to the scripture. I just want to share some verses with you quickly this morning. And maybe the best way for me to do this, do we have all these, Mike? Okay, Exodus 15:26. And we're just going to kind of jump through here this morning instead of me turning pages. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, if you pay attention. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 12. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. Deuteronomy 28, 13. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Isn't that a great verse? If you pay attention. The implication being, if you don't pay attention, you're going to end up at the bottom and not at the top. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23 total here. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Isaiah 48, 18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. If only you had paid attention. Time, and this is not all inclusive by any means, time after time after time. You think God knows that we don't pay attention? Look how many times he said to his people, pay attention. Pay attention. If you will pay attention, here's the good stuff that will happen. Indeed, if only you had paid attention. Insinuating, now, past history, they didn't pay attention. And they were at the bottom, and they had diseases, and things went bad because they didn't pay attention. And how many times have we been whining or complaining to God about the way things are going in our life, but indeed the reason we're where we're at is because we didn't pay attention to follow His commands and His decrees. We were doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing. We were hanging out places we shouldn't have been. We were thinking things we shouldn't have thought. We were saying things we shouldn't have said. And then we wonder why things didn't go well. That's why we talked about choices last week. But the devil wants to steal our attention, because God knows if we pay attention, God knows that He's already told us everything we need to know. It's all in the Bible. It's all in the book. It's right there. And His Holy Spirit wants to continue to bring that to our remembrance and to guide us. Let's look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, Mike. This is from the parable of the sower. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get you to forget what you know the word says. Or he's trying to keep you from memorizing the word so it'll come to you in those times and situations where maybe you're not packing your Bible with you. The devil wants to steal your attention. He is really not all about trying to have this big war with you and just kill you right here on the spot and defeat you. He just wants to distract you. Now, you heard what I said to the kids this morning. I'm going to say it to you. We live in a culture of entitlement. We think we have a right to all these things, and we want the latest technology, and we want the latest stuff, and so we pack our cell phones into service, and we text because it's quiet and nobody will notice. And we text things back and forth to each other, but I promise you, 100% of the time, if you're texting, you're not listening to God. Okay, so you guys text that on your phone to whoever it is you're talking to right now. Just tell them, I'm not listening to God now. And I don't mean to be rude and crude and mean and all legalistic. I'm just saying, if we really want to make it and we really want to survive in our spiritual life, why are we letting the devil distract us? Because we cannot focus on what we're supposed to be here for if we're playing with our phones, or if we're passing notes, or if we're thinking about what we need to get out of the oven when we get home. If you're going to worry about it, why didn't you just leave it out until you got back? If it's going to take your mind off of the things of God, if you're going to do all kinds of things that you have to focus on and concentrate on so that when you come to the house of God, you can't think about God, you should have never done it in the first place. You should have waited until you got home to cook it. See, it's what I'm saying. And you probably don't agree with me. That's okay. I'm going to say it anyway, and I'm going to stand by it. Because when your mind is somewhere else, it's not on God. And my question to you is, why are you here? Why are you here? To look good? To impress the neighbors? There's only one reason to come here. Now, there's a lot of things that happen peripherally because you come here that are good things. And I'm for all of those. But the reason you come here is to worship God. That's your point and purpose. So He can speak to you. The word assembly, ecclesia, means those called out by God to hear from God. You come to church to hear from God. And we can't hear from God if we're thinking and doing a lot of other things, if our focus is somewhere else. And the devil wants to steal things, because if he can steal things from us, he knows that we won't have them. And here's what happens. Just like I told the kids. And I realize there are emergencies, okay? And I realize there are some things that sometimes because of our health and various things are going, there are some things that cannot be helped. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about choices. A lot of times, we never make it to the sanctuary when we should, because we get stopped outside and we have a conversation. And while church is going on, we're outside talking in a conversation that probably could have taken place after church. A lot of times we get up in the middle of church because we have to have a drink or we have to go to the restroom. And I'm thinking, you know what? You just missed what God was going to say during that period of time. Now, I realize there are emergency situations. Sometimes it can't be helped. And I understand. I'm not talking to that. But there, you know, we come. There's time before Sunday school. We come. We're in Sunday school for about an hour. There's a 10-minute break in between. And then we're in here about an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half. You guys go sit in the movie theaters longer than that. And sometimes you wouldn't get up and go anywhere. Sometimes you'll get to watching something that you're really interested in and you'll just sit there and hold it until your kidneys are about to blow because you don't want to miss it. And yet when we get in the house of God, we're looking for a reason to get up and leave. How is God supposed to talk to us? How is he supposed to feel like it's important what he says? We're all about our own convenience. And all this happens because that's the attack of the enemy. It's not because you're bad people. The devil's doing this stuff on purpose because you don't think about it that way. You don't think it's that big a deal. You don't think it's going to matter. But if you're not here, you're not hearing it. And whatever you don't hear, you can't put to use. So why not make the most of the time we have so that indeed where it's not being stolen from us? Because here's the danger. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And if we haven't heard it, where are we going to go? Now, are there times where somebody is in such dire straits that perhaps you need to hear them and say a word of prayer for them outside? I think those times happen. There are times that the greatest point of need may not be in a sanctuary. I'm not speaking to those issues. But I'm going to guess that the majority of the time, that's not the greatest point of need. It's just the point I'm most interested in at the time. Because I think I've already been there and done that. I've heard what there is to hear in church. I got it down. I know what's going on. See, and the enemy wants us to think like that. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to get you to understand. The enemy fights us subtly. The enemy steals from us in a kind of quiet kind of way. How many times has anybody here ever had their home broken into? Okay. Now, did the guy that broke into your house, did he call you and say, "Hey, I just want you to know I'm coming tonight, breaking your house"? So just be ready. I don't want you to be scared or anything. I'm just going to come take your stuff. How many of you got a warning call from the guy that broke in? I'm telling you, the enemy is not going to tell you why he's coming or what he's up to. But he's going to do everything he possibly can to distract you from focusing on the voice of God. It's interesting to watch people during altar calls. Randy's nodding his head. He's been in the pulpit before. And you get to watching people sometimes, and during altar calls, they start doing things because they don't want to hear what God's saying to them. And they don't even have to necessarily be rude or crude to bother anybody else. You just watch people. And they start putting their mind in other places because they don't want to hear the voice of God. Because we don't always like what God says to us. And once he says it, we're responsible to do something about it. The enemy wants to steal our attention. I got to move on. He also wants to kill our sensitivity. The enemy would like to dull our senses. He wants us to get to the point to where we can't feel and sense things the way that God wants to communicate with us. I want to read to you a couple of passages from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. That's the problem with a lot of people. We're calloused. We're hard-hearted. We've had some bad experiences, had some difficult times, and so we're just not sure we want to have to deal with some things. And so we kind of tend to to get scarred over. Chapter 36, verses 26 through 27 of the book of Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But when our hearts are calloused, we can't get healed because we don't hear, and we don't understand, and we don't do. How many of you play guitar? How many of you know if you're going to play guitar, you have to get your fingers calloused? Because otherwise, when you play, they hurt. But you can get them callous to the point that you can play and they don't hurt anymore. They lose their feeling. They lose their sensitivity. How many of you know that you can do something that makes you feel bad, but if you do it enough times, you don't feel nearly as bad about it? Pretty soon you just get used to it. There's a song several years ago in the Southern gospel world that came out, and it was entitled Getting Used to the Dark. Sometimes we go into a dark room, we put our hand up in front of us, and we can't see it, but if we focus long enough in the same dark space that we couldn't see at all, we give our pupils time to dilate out and everything, then we think we can see. We think we can see. And that's how a lot of us are in the world. We start losing sensitivity to light, we start getting used to the dark, and then we think we're seeing as good as we used to with the lights on. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. We get calloused. 30-some years of doing ministry, I used to have people come through the door. I still have people come through the door, and they ask for help. When I first got in the ministry, I just thought I had to help everybody. And as I got older, then I kind of began to define what help was, because help and enablement are two different things. But if you're not careful, you think you're enabling everybody, so you don't help anybody. And you get calloused, and you just don't listen to the voice of God. And the enemy wants to take away our sensitivity, because when we're not as sensitive to things, we're not affected anymore. The Lord can't get to us as quickly. We need sensitive hearts. We need hearts that can be touched by God. We need to have a sensitivity about us where we can be moved by the plight of people, to where we don't just become self-centered and we just don't care about others. There's all kinds of sensitivity issue, but the devil, the thief, wants to kill our sensitivity. He wants us to become calloused and hard-hearted. And there are people that are very religious people that are as calloused and hard-hearted as the day is long. They do all the right things. They go to church all the time, but they don't really hear from God anymore. They're just going through the motions, following a habit. And if the devil can steal our attention and kill our sensitivity, then he can destroy our relationship. I got to go really fast now, I realize that. But he wants to corrode the connection. If you think about relationship, the word relationship has all to do with connections. A relationship is a connection, okay? And in the Song of Songs, in chapter 2, in verse 15, there's a statement that we've all heard referred to before, but this is where it comes from. Song of Solomon, Songs 2:15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. What it's talking about is all the little things that pull at us and distract us and keep us from focusing. You know, the proverbial urgent rather than important. They want our attention right now, but they really don't. There's really not that big a deal. A lot of those things we could just let go by and really focus on what's important. Because the devil wants to destroy our relationship. If he can get us to think about the wrong things, if he can get us to focus our attention in the wrong place, he can ruin our relationship. It happens in marriages. It happens in partnerships, in business. People begin to focus on different things. They want different things. They want different outcomes. They have different interests. And next thing you know, they're going apart. And people do that in, if they don't do the things to make a relationship work, they wake up and find themselves without a relationship. And then they're ready just to kind of throw the whole thing away. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 19 through 20 reads like this. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Now I want to refer back to a passage. It says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. I want to refer back to the passage last week that was in Jonah's prayer. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Jonah 2:8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. He destroys our relationship. When we start focusing on idols, when we start focusing on things we think we need or got to have or whatever, and we get our focus off of God, our relationship begins to go. We have to keep our focus, which is why the devil wants to steal our attention. Which is why he wants to kill our sensitivity. Because if he can move our attention in another direction, if he can make us feel differently or not feel at all the way we used to feel, then he can take away our connection with God. 2 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Associations are vitally important. Because when you begin to associate with people who don't have the same focus you do, who don't want the same things you do, but you want their attention and their approval, you begin to move your attention and focus over to be like them so they will approve of you. And when that happens, again, we lose our connection. And the enemy destroys our relationship. I want you to understand that the devil is quite content for you to be religious. You can just be religious about anything you want to be. What he is not happy with is when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that personal relationship drives everything else in your life. Every other decision you make, every step you take is all driven by my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal our attention, kill our sensitivity, and destroy our relationship with God. Now, very quickly, and I'm going to wrap this up. What's the solution? Three simple things that I think can offset and get us back to the right path. Number one, fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Number two, open your hearts and allow Christ to dwell in your hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. And then moving on to Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. It's this fellowship. It's allowing God to come into our heart because he wants to have this fellowship with us where he gives us directions and we enjoy sitting down at the table and having a discussion. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Open our hearts for Christ to dwell in them. And number three, then remain in him. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. In the King James Version, the word remain is the word abide. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. The word remain means to abide or continue. So if you fall, don't quit, don't stop, get back up, keep moving. Continue, abide, stay, remain. Don't lose out, don't give up, don't lose heart. Simply confess, be forgiven, and keep moving with God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Open your hearts for Christ to dwell and remain in Him and let His word remain in you. The thief comes to steal your attention, kill your sensitivity, and destroy your relationship with God. Because if he can do that, you won't be in heaven. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Stand with me this morning. Father, we come to you this day, and it is so easy. There are so many things going on in this world that seem like good things, but the enemy can take good things and he can twist them and pervert them to use them against us. Things that you intended for good, he can turn. But we know, Lord, that you can take things that he intended for bad and you can make good out of them. And so, Father, just help us to keep our focus. Help us to realize that it's not always going to be an all-out frontal assault attack by the devil that's easy to identify, but sometimes it's going to be the little things in life, the little foxes that spoil the vine, that indeed eroded our relationship until we wake up one day and say, I don't have a connection. I'm not connected. I don't hear God. I don't sense God. It's gone. And just like that sower who threw the word down there and the devil snatched it away so that people would not hear it and be saved, the enemy wants to take our focus away. Lord, help us to reverence the house of God. Help us to reverence God Himself. You are not common. One of the greatest sins that take place is that we've made you common like everything else. You are not common. Your house is not common. This is a special sacred place, and you are a sacred being. So, Lord, let us reverence and respect you as you deserve. And let us respect your house. Let us, Father, not let the enemy steal our attention, kill our sensitivity, or destroy our relationship with you. These altars are open. I wonder if there's somebody this morning that would just, in the quiet of the moment, say, I need a place to kneel and just say to God, you know, I've been distracted. I've gone adrift. Hebrews chapter says, don't drift. You know, if you don't pay attention, you're going to drift. Let's not drift. Some of you guys who are fishermen, you've got a boat in the water once in a while and you didn't drop an anchor and you were intending on being in one spot, but a gradual current that you couldn't even really see took you to another place. That's how life is sometimes. We end up someplace we never intended to be because we don't pay attention, and the devil just keeps that continual drift, that drag going on. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let him steal your attention. Don't let him kill your sensitivity. Don't let him destroy your relationship. Hang on to God. Trust in his protecting arm and hand. Know that he wants you to make it. Don't give up. Don't turn loose. Hang on. If you fail, admit it. Receive God's forgiveness and keep moving in the right direction. Do not let the devil steal from you your eternal reward. Brother John Rogers, pray a closing prayer for us this morning, please.